You're listening to Pastor J.C. Hyden's message, Transformational Approach to Prayer, part of the mini-series Transforming Faith at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
Lord Jesus, I have just one request, that you would send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts this morning as we open up your word. Lord, transform us into the people that you want us to be as we seek you with all of our hearts. In your mighty name I ask this, Jesus. Amen. Have you ever done something or experienced something that you enjoyed so much that you find yourself proclaiming, I was made for this. I love this so much. Gosh, I feel so alive when I do this. I was made for this. Well, for me, one of those experiences is bodyboarding in the ocean. And so when I'm on vacation, just picture, if you don't know what bodyboarding is, you take a surfboard, you cut it in half, and you've got this board, and then there's something about getting under a big wave, and if you get in just the right spot, just as it's about to crash, you can catch that wave and ride it all the way into the shore, and you harness the full power of the wave, and it's just an amazing feeling. And when I do that, I just feel alive and fulfilled. And I love it so much. It's so incredible, so addicting even, that I just can't get enough of it. And so when I'm at the ocean, when I'm on those vacations, I find myself planning the next one. Like, when is the next vacation I can take so I can get in the ocean and ride the waves? And as I think about this, you know, I even thought about asking Pastor Matt, you know, hey, maybe could we think about planting a church in Hawaii so we could go and be a part of that? Maybe you can help him convince him of that with me, because I love doing that so much. And when I'm away from it, I miss it and want to get back into it. And you know, we were made for experiences like that. We were meant to experience, think about your spiritual life, we were meant to experience and enjoy the transformational presence of God in your life on a daily basis. We were made for that. The title of our sermon today is simply A Transformational Approach to Prayer. And what I want us to do this morning is recapture that desire to be in the Lord's presence, not just as a duty and not even as a discipline, although it is that sometimes, but as a delight, that we would be delighted in the Lord's presence. You see, I want us to expect to encounter and experience God's presence, not just when we go on a retreat or not just on Sunday mornings, but as the normative part of our everyday lives. You see, our approach to our prayer life and even the enjoyment of our prayer life largely depends on how we think about our relationship with Jesus. If you want to have a transformational prayer life, if you want to have the prayer life that we were made for, the prayer life that you have always wanted, then we need to learn how to talk to Jesus like he's your closest friend and your most trusted ally. Let me just say that again. If you want to experience the prayer life that you were meant to have, the prayer life God wants you to have, then we need to learn how to talk to Jesus like he's our closest friend and our most trusted ally. And to get our minds around that, today we're going to look at two images or two pictures that capture what our relationship with God should look like. So how do we do that? Well, we need to go back to the beginning and think about, gosh, what is prayer? Where does prayer come from? And to do that, I think the best thing to do is go back to the beginning, go back to the creation of the world, think about the garden with Adam and Eve and what God's relationship was like with them. And, you know, prayer is just talking to God. And so Adam and Eve had fellowship with God in the garden. And there's even a picture where God brings the animals to Adam and he names them. And there's this fellowship and this communion with the Lord. One of my favorite authors in his book called Hearing God says this. He says, people are meant to live in an ongoing conversation with God, speaking and being spoken to. You see, we were made for this, and that's evident even if you look at the garden with Adam and Eve and their relationship with God. But of course, you know the story that we rejected God and we turned away from him and sin entered the world. And one of the most basic lessons of the Bible is that sin causes separation. You see, sin causes physical separation and results in death. Sin causes spiritual separation from God, both now and in eternity. And sin causes relational separation in between people. It causes us to lose fellowship, to lose communication. And that's what happened when Adam and Eve turned from God. But then Jesus comes, and we all know that he came again, and his disciples once again got the chance to interact with the Lord face to face, and they walked with him, lived beside him, and were able to talk to him. And Jesus mounts this incredible rescue operation where he comes, he lives a perfect life, the life that we should have lived. He dies in our place, and then he rises again. And I love this picture when you think about our prayer life. There was a temple in Jerusalem, and they had, if you see over here, there's a large curtain that we pull over to divide this space between this half and that half. And there was a similar curtain in the temple. And it divided the regular part of the temple with what they called the holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And that was the place where God's presence was dwelling. And what happened when Jesus died on the cross is that big curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom as a sign to indicate that through Jesus we can have close communication, close communion with God again. You see, the barrier between God and men has been destroyed through Jesus Christ as we step into a relationship with him. And that is good news. That is good news that can start to manifest itself in our daily prayer life. And as we think about our future, you know, one day we will be restored again to God. If you know him and love him, then one day, Revelation chapter 21 says that God's dwelling place will be among the people. You see, he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that's a powerful reminder of where we're headed. So that's the end of the story, but we live in the middle between the cross and between eternity. And in the meantime, God wants us to have a life-giving, dynamic, and interactive friendship with God. And the good news is that that's available to each one of us. You see, in the meantime, Jesus wants us here working to accomplish his purposes in this world, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us as we try to do that. You see, Jesus speaks to us when we make the time to listen to him through his word, the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit who lives in us and works through us to accomplish his purposes. So that's where we're at now. And in the Bible today, we're going to take a look at those two pictures that demonstrate this. And so if you would, turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to look at this passage this morning. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he simply says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So let's explore this image just a little bit. I mean, what is a yoke? If you look at the slide behind me, a yoke is just a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to a plow or a cart that they could pull, and it was used for agriculture. And so it would harness the strength of not just one, but two animals, and it would multiply their work. It would maximize their effort and make the work more efficient and even for the animals more enjoyable because it's split between two. And this was also a great training tool. If you had an older, more experienced animal, you could yoke them with a younger, more inexperienced animal, and they would pull the load together. And so those are the advantages of a yoke, but Jesus is referencing even the disadvantages of a yoke. You see, if you have a cruel taskmaster, if you have a bad farmer who doesn't care about his animals, they can use that yoke to put a heavy, heavy burden on their animals. And in that way, a yoke can be used negatively. And this is the frame of reference that Jesus was talking about, as the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders of the day, were really placing heavy burdens on the people. And God says, "I want to liberate us from that." He says, "My yoke is different from that." And so take a look at this slide. You have a larger animal who is yoked to a smaller animal, and there's a teaching dynamic there. And then, you know, sometimes we have a lot of growth to do in our lives, so sometimes our relationship with Jesus is like this, when we've got a lot to learn. And, you know, Jesus might look at us and say, "Oh boy, he's young and green behind the ears," but if we yoke ourselves to Jesus, then he can teach us how to do it. He can teach us the way, and that's just so encouraging. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And doesn't that sound good? I don't know if you feel like you might have a heavy burden you're walking with today. And if you're trying to carry that burden alone, this might be what happens to you. I mean, look at that poor donkey, and he's not yoked to anybody. He's got to carry the load alone, and it can get a little overwhelming. So we don't want that to happen to us in our spiritual lives. We want to step into that yoke with Jesus and start to walk with him and talk with him in our prayer life. Jesus' invitation to us is simple. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You see, this is a choice for all of us. We can either step into that yoke with Jesus and learn from him, or we can reject it and be like that donkey who's struggling. That's really the invitation into discipleship. You know, as a church, we talk a lot about being disciples of Jesus. It really means just to learn from the Lord, to learn from Jesus. And so discipleship could be defined as someone who's learning from Jesus, who's learning how to live from Jesus. And this encapsulates every aspect of our life. We want to say, Lord, I open up every single aspect of my life to you. And discipleship is just the process of leading people to increasingly submit all of life to the lordship and empowering presence of Jesus. And that's a holistic process that allows the gospel to change what we think with our head, what we feel with our heart, and what we do with our hands. And so Jesus is saying, come take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle. I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I don't know if you've ever been working with somebody who is not gentle, who is not humble in heart, but maybe who is prideful in heart. And working under somebody like that can be so discouraging, and it depletes us, and it's exhausting. And Jesus says, this is not so with me. He says, when you step into the yoke with me, your soul will find rest, and your work will be refreshing and restorative. And so I would encourage us to just step into that yoke with Jesus. Learn from him and just talk with him like he's a person. Sometimes we think of God as he's so high above us, and he is, but through Jesus we can talk to him just like you would a friend face to face. And so just talk to the Lord about what you're thinking about, what you're going through. Don't bring him your list so much and pray through that and just like pray through it and then be done, but talk to Jesus like you would talk to your best friend, because he's right there with you, helping you through your daily life. You see, Jesus is our closest friend and our most trusted ally. I love the way the Message, that paraphrase of the Bible, kind of talks about this passage. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. It says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, Jesus can be our closest friend and our most trusted ally as we accomplish his kingdom purposes together. And this is good news for us on some of the best days of our life. When you're hitting that sweet spot in ministry, and maybe you feel like God is really using you, maybe you're ministering to people or talking to people, sharing the hope of Jesus with them, and you feel like, gosh, Lord, I was made for this. This is fantastic. But then even on those worst days, we all have those tough days, those hard days. You see, this passage is good news for us on those days, because if we're yoked to Jesus, then he is always with you and he is right next to you. You know, sometimes it might not feel like it when you have those tough days, but God is right there next to you, walking alongside of you. And if we stick to Jesus, then he will help us pull the load. He will help us to just put one foot in front of the other as we go through some of those tough days in our lives. You know, about a year ago, I was driving through the Marquette Interchange here in Milwaukee, and it was at night, it was dark, and the fog had just rolled in off the lake. And the fog was so thick that I was driving right through the Marquette Interchange, and I couldn't even tell there was a city behind the fog. I couldn't even see any of the buildings. It was like it wasn't even there. But I knew it was there, it's just the fog was so thick and dense that I couldn't see it. And, you know, the fog can rush into our lives like that unexpectedly, and it can get thick and difficult really quick. You know, when I was 25 years old, my dad passed away unexpectedly, and I still struggle to talk about all the things that we went through as a part of that experience. And I know that the fog can get thick and dense, and it can be difficult. But on your worst days, well, when you're having days like that, if you're yoked to Jesus, you know that you can trust him to lead the way. You can trust him to help bear your burdens and to help you carry the weight of it all. You see, he's always with you. When people ask, gosh, where is Jesus when I struggle? If you're yoked to him, he's right next to you. And if the fog is so thick that you can't even look over and see him, just know that if you take it step by step, he will pull the weight with you, and he will help you carry the burdens on your toughest days. And on our worst days, that's very good news. And you know, Jesus is good news on all the rest of our lives as well. For all those normal days, those everyday kind of days, Jesus wants us to know that if we step into that relationship with him, we can pray continually. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, pray continually, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, you are meant to remain in constant contact with Jesus. And it's so important that we remember that. I once had a job a number of years ago in business, and it was a sales job and a job where once a week we would have our call day, and I would have to pick up the telephone and make sales calls. I would have to make about 50 or 60 sales calls every day to people that I didn't know, to businesses I didn't know, and to talk about our products and services, and those were tough days for me, especially at the beginning. And so one of the things that I did to remind myself that Jesus was with me, and just on those normal days, but those days when maybe it's tough at work, what I did, and maybe this might work for you, maybe not, but I took a little post-it note, and I would draw a little chair. And this chair was the chair that Jesus would sit in. And I would take that post-it note, and I would stick it on my desk, and before I made every phone call for my job, I would look at that chair, and I would say a little prayer, and I would say, Lord, would you join me in this phone call? Would you teach me how to do it? Would you make the person that I'm about to call receptive to the message I have for them? And would you be with me? Would you give me strength and help me to know what to say? And I felt his presence walking with me day by day in that job as I learned that position. And that made all the difference. You see, Jesus is good news for us on every single day of our lives if we're yoked to him. So when life gets hard, when life gets difficult, on those good days and on those bad days, the fact that we can be yoked to Jesus is good news. Now I want us to take a look at that second picture, that second image. Turn with me to John chapter 15, and we're going to take a look at this second picture of our prayer life. Here Jesus says, starting in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish according to my purposes. That's the idea. Ask whatever you wish in my name and it will be done for you. This is to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing or demonstrating yourselves to be my disciples. And so take a look at this picture with the grapes and the vine as Jesus is using another agricultural analogy. And you see these grapes that are pictured on the vine here. And the idea there is that if we remain in Jesus, that we will draw our life from him, just as the grapes draw their life from the vine. And so this word remain is a key word here. It's used 11 times alone in this chapter, this idea of remaining, abiding in Christ. And this is actually a key concept in John's theology all throughout this book. You see, this word remain is actually used 40 different times in the book of John. See, John wants us to know that you've got to remain in Jesus. You've got to remain in his presence as you go through your everyday life. Remaining means to stay in the place that you've been occupying, to continue in the same state or with the same person or in the same place. Remain means that we are always in him and that we are in constant contact with him through prayer. You see, the goal of our life is to draw life and hope from Jesus, to draw our life from Jesus, just like the branch draws its life from the vine. And so this is a great picture of what the abundant life looks like, what our life should look like as we remain in Christ. But then in contrast to that, Jesus gives us the opposite of that. And that's the picture of a shriveled vine. If we're cut off from Jesus, if we're not living in him, then your life might look like this. And as soon as we're disconnected from Jesus, then we start to shrivel up. And our life might look like this bundle of branches that is dead and that is just going to be torn away because it's no good to anyone. And so this is what a picture of the opposite of life in Christ. And this is what happens when we get disconnected from him. And so those are the pictures that we're talking about. Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, we keep Jesus' commandments because that's the best, that's the way to have the best life possible. That's the way to have the abundant life. You see, if sin brings separation and death and everything bad, then keeping God's commandments will bring everything good and positive into your life. That's why Jesus gives us those commands. And then he says in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Because greater love has no other than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. He says, if you are my friends, you do what I command. And so Jesus wants us to have the abundant life. He wants us to live in his love. But I think sometimes when we hear, if you're familiar with the Bible, when we hear Jesus start talking about love and love everyone, I think maybe sometimes we glaze over and we maybe start to fall asleep a little bit. But this verse here wakes us up. Jesus says, okay, wait, guys, understand this. Greater love has nothing other than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. You see, this chapter occurs just a few chapters before Jesus was going to go to the cross and lay down everything for his friends. And so what we need to understand here is that Jesus is more than just a really nice guy who wants you to love everything. Jesus is maybe we need to picture him more like a Navy SEAL in combat gear, or someone who's going to fight for you when your life is on the line. You see, Jesus is more than a friend. He's our warrior king who sacrifices himself to rescue us when we are being held hostage behind enemy lives, and our very lives and our very souls are on the line. You see, Jesus wants you to know that when you need him the most, that he's there for you and that he's coming for you, and he's already mounted a rescue operation and died for your sins on the cross so that we can be united with him and draw our strength and our life from him every single day. And that is good news for us. That's the kind of Savior that we work with and walk with every day. And so draw your life from him. You see, Jesus is the hero of your story, and he is inviting you to be a close friend and a trusted ally. And he wants you to cooperate with him as he's trying to accomplish his kingdom purposes in this world and in our lives. I love to go to movies that are focused on the military because I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn there. And one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite kinds of movies is like a spy movie or any kind of movie that really takes you into the command center where the generals are going to work and the troops are starting to move into battle. And I love these movies when they show us the decisions that the generals and the commanders are starting to make. And it always seems like something unplanned happens. And there's a situation developing far away from where they have any troops or where they have any assets, and they always start to ask, who can we get over there to make a difference? Who can step into that situation and make the difference that will change the outcome? Do we have any assets in that area? Any people who are willing to jump into the fight for us right there? And you know, as I think about those times, I think about, gosh, sometimes I feel like there's situations that develop in my life, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you can be my asset in this situation. You can be the difference maker for me in this situation. I want you to step up and step in here and demonstrate my purposes and my kingdom to the people in this situation. And so I say, yes, Lord, I want to do that. But then sometimes if we're walking with him and we're in step with Jesus and we're drawing our life for him, then maybe he'll convict you of a bad attitude that you have about that situation or a cynical heart that you have that might hinder his work in that situation. And we don't want to be a liability to Jesus. We want to be an asset to him. We want him to use us for his kingdom purposes in this world. And so we can just pray in the moment as we draw our life from him, we can just pray, Lord, I repent of that attitude. I repent of that cynical heart. Lord, change me and transform me so that you can use me in this very situation to be your difference maker here on this earth. That's what God wants to do with us. But he can only do that as we walk in step with him through prayer. And that prayer is an ongoing, continual, minute-by-minute thing. You see, we just want to say, Lord, just use me in whatever way you see fit. See, we need to pray to Jesus like he is not just our friend, but our closest ally. We say, Lord, I give you access to all of my life. Accomplish your purposes through me. And we need to talk to him throughout the day like this. And if you remember that Jesus is your closest friend and your most trusted ally, then it will completely transform your prayer life. So how do we do that? Well, maybe you need to say prayers like this as you go in those situations. Lord, what is your heart in this situation? So often I find my prayers are just focused on me, and I'm like, man, I just spent the last 5 minutes praying all about me. But God is up to some other stuff that is outside of me, and he wants to transform me and change me so that I can have an impact on those situations. But if I'm always looking at me in my prayer life and not thinking about praying like an ally, not thinking about praying praying so that I'm walking with Jesus and fighting with him like his warrior, then I'm going to miss those opportunities. So we need to pray to Jesus like he's our ally and not just praying down our list, not just focusing on ourselves, but saying, Lord, what are you trying to do here? What is your heart in this situation? Lord, change me so that you can use me here. And maybe this will look like when you're at work and you see one of your coworkers that you might not know very well, and they look like they're worried or concerned. They feel like their concerns aren't being listened to. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, go be the difference maker for that person today. Go talk to them and ask them what's on their mind, and maybe offer to pray with them at the end of that conversation. Or maybe you're looking at someone else across the room and they just seem tired and exhausted. Maybe you should go over to her and maybe God is prompting you to say, you know what, why don't you drop the stuff you're working on right now? Why don't you go help her finish her work so she can leave early and get home to her kids? Maybe that's what God is calling you to do, and ask her how you can pray for her as well, because maybe she's going through some stuff you don't even know about, and God will give you those opportunities to speak his hope and his joy into those situations if you're willing to step out in faith with him. But you can only do that if you're vitally connected with Jesus, if his spirit is guiding you moment by moment in those situations. So I think it's good to even dive a little bit deeper. Let's look at how we do that. What is the prayer life, and what are the practices of Jesus that we can emulate? If we're trying to be like him, then let's look at what he did to stay connected to the Father. You see, Jesus' entire life demonstrates the power of the regular practice of prayer. Jesus took times of private prayer where he withdrew to lonely places to pray. Jesus took times of extended prayer where he took long periods and just cried out before the Father. He did this before he made significant decisions. He took an extended time of prayer before he picked his 12 disciples. And he also did this right before his death. Just before big things occurred in his life, he took extended time away to pray. Maybe we should do that more. Jesus took time to fast and to abstain from food to focus on his relationship with the Lord. And then Jesus also immersed himself in Scripture. He memorized many passages so that they were right on the tip of his tongue when he needed them. And this is evident when he was being tempted in the desert. And he had Scripture right there on the tip of his tongue ready to go because he was saturated in God's Word. So maybe we need to take some more time and just saturate yourself in God's Word. He also took retreats where he withdrew from the public, he withdrew from the crowds, and he took times to be alone with the Lord, and maybe we need to do that. So what I want to bring this to is, what is your prayer life, and what do your practices look like as you think about trying to keep in step with Jesus and walk in prayer with him throughout the day? You see, our souls long for connection and communication with our Creator. And what I want to encourage us to do is to expand our tool belt. If you can think about having a tool belt of prayer, maybe you need to put a few more things in that tool belt that will help you to connect with Jesus and to walk with Him and remind you, just like this note card, of your relationship with Him and that you can reach Him at any time. Just a few suggestions, maybe a few things that have worked for me is keeping a prayer journal. And so as I'm praying with the Lord, I'll write down some thoughts I have. I'll write down a verse that I feel like God wants me to remember that day. So maybe you can try that. I know some people who really don't like journaling at all, and so maybe that won't work for you, but maybe you can do something else. Another thing I've done recently is just playing some instrumental music or some worship music that will really, sometimes you feel so numb or so tired that you just really can't connect with God. Maybe you need to put on some music that will allow you, that will allow Him to be drawn into His presence as you start your prayer time. And so listen to some music. Allow God to draw out your soul and your spirit as you connect with Him. Or maybe, you know, this summer as we talk about, we want to spend the whole summer in prayer, there's two classes that are actually listed in your pamphlet this morning. There's a class called Desiring God, and that's all about how to enjoy your walk with the Lord. So maybe you want to jump into that class. I believe it starts in 2 weeks. There's another class called How to Pray Creatively. And so maybe you want some new ways. You want to find some new ways to connect with God. I encourage you to jump into that class, I believe starting next week, as you start to say, Lord, I need some new ways to connect with You. I want to refresh myself and figure out how to connect with You better, even this summer. So jump into those classes. And then also I would say there's a few books that I've listed at the end of those study questions. And maybe you want to go deeper on this because really everything in our life flows out of our relationship with Jesus. And so if you want to dive deep, maybe pick up one of those books at the end of those study questions and read through one of those this summer so that Jesus can be invited into your life to transform your prayer life with Him. You see, we were created for a transformational prayer life. And our approach to prayer and even our enjoyment of our prayer life largely depends on how we think about our relationship with Jesus. You see, if you want to have the prayer life that you were made to experience, then we need to learn how to talk with Jesus like He's our closest friend and our most trusted ally. And remember those two pictures that we talked about this morning. I invite you to take His yoke upon you and to learn from Him as you go through your daily life. And then remember that He's the vine and we are the branches, and we need to draw our life from Him even moment by moment to produce the kingdom fruit in our life that He wants to use us to produce. And never forget that we can pray to Jesus like He's our closest friend and most trusted ally, and that this is good news on our worst days, this is good news on our best days, and this is good news on every single day in between. You see, we're just ordinary people, but when others observe our lives, we want it to be so obvious that we have spent time in prayer with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we need You in our lives. Lord, we need to draw our life from You. Lord, we want to take Your yoke and to walk side by side with You every single day. Lord, every moment we need You. Would You do a work in us even this summer as we try to draw closer to You in prayer? Would You change us and transform us like only You can do when we stay close to You in prayer throughout each and every day? Do this in our lives for Your glory. Amen.